Yikes. Which will kill you.
No, thank you.
Demons don't give a shit about locks.
A little bit grim.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Donut.
Look at us doing all of the intros.
I am proud of us.
And we even remembered Donut.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's gonna make himself known. He's, like, in a mood today.
Yeah, he, like, stayed away the last episode and then, like, realized, I think, what was happening in here, that we're having a good time without him.
Oh, he can't stand it.
And that would be the end of him.
He's 20 pounds of ear... Oh, of course. On the table.
Hi,
and
boo.
On the laptop. 20 pounds of irritated, attention-starved cat.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh my god, I saw a TikTok the other day that just made me laugh so hard because the whole thing was, can I have your attention, please? And then, like, silence for the next 30 seconds. And it was like, thank you, that's all I needed. And if that wasn't a whole mood, I don't know what is.
I saw one that was like, yeah, I'm thick. Thick and not being appreciated.
Oh, God. I went on a walk the other night, and I was, like, listening to my music, and I was like, or I could just watch TikToks instead, though. And I did that, and it, like, made the time go really fast.
Listen, I hate to, like, sound like the two old people, like, still stuck on something not meant for our generation.
I don't,
like,
care.
We are.
I don't care about it. I think it's hilarious. I'm having a great time. I tie-dyed a sweatshirt today because,
wow.
I know. The girls on TikTok are doing it.
What a youthful activity for you.
I know. My husband thinks I'm losing my mind.
I still have to use, like, lidocaine patches to get up in the morning. So, like...
I told him today that, like, we're in quarantine, and he's like, you're so weird, and I think you're getting weirder by the day.
He's just stuck with you longer.
Yeah. I was like, normally I would be able to spread out my weirdness amongst many people.
We so, just like, nobody dispersed.
Right. Like, the longer you've known me, the, like, more so I think you know that I'm truly
you're
a
fucking weirdo. Yeah.
That's okay, but, like, my husband, I think I bamboozled him a little into, necessarily thinking that I'm a complete weirdo.
You and Ryan have been together for, what, 11 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he's not bamboozled. He knows you're a weirdo.
He just likes to point it out, make me feel bad about myself. That's what you're saying? I get it. It's fine.
Well, speaking of things that are weird...
Yeah.
We're talking about cults today.
I love cults.
I'm really looking forward to being a part of one someday.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not. But I think they're fascinating. And I think that I had much more, passion for this research than I did for conspiracies. Because, you know, this is based in facts. And it is things that happen to real people, and there are people who are still alive that can, like, give us their testimony and tell us what happened and why they stayed and why they participated.
Sure.
There's a lot of research here, which I love. So I'm excited for research. I'm excited for Cults Day.
I'm excited, too. I actually wasn't anticipating getting, like, super jazzed up. You know, all I care about is, like, witchy ghost stuff.
Yeah.
So, this, when I found it, sucked me in. And then don't tell my boss, but, like, took over, like, 2 hours of my workday. Like, I could not pull myself away. So, I'm going to go first this week. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about the Rajneesh movement.
Ooh.
Have you heard?
I think I saw it very briefly while I was, like, trying to decide what I was going to do. But I don't know enough about it to, like... comment. So I'm very excited.
I found it really fascinating because a lot of the leader, his name is Rajneesh, a lot of, like, his doctrine are things that I really value.
I think that's what happens, though.
I think so, too. When you're, like, on the fringe, or you feel like you have, like, fringe beliefs, and you find somebody who is in such an esteemed place that aligns with your ideas, I think you're more inclined to follow them. Okay, so let me tell you.
Yeah, just start at the beginning. Tell me everything.
So the Rajneesh movement is a group of followers of the Indian mystic Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. He later became known as Osho.
Okay.
So I might use those two interchangeably because Rajneesh is kind of hard for me to say. Disciples of his are referred to as Neo-Sannyasins or just Sannyasins. They used to be known as the Rajneeshis or the Orange People, because later on in the life cycle of the cult, they all wore orange, red, maroon, pink, between 1970 and 1985. So you've got like a 15-year, really in the thicket of cults. So it was really controversial during this time frame due to his hostility towards like traditional moral values, both in India and the United States. So he's originally from India. The Soviet Union banned his movement because it was contrary to positive aspects of Indian culture and to the aims of the youth protest movement in Western countries. Which sounds like the insane babble that, like, the Soviet Union spits out when they just don't want to deal with your bullshit.
Sure.
So, Rajneesh began speaking publicly in 1958. He was born in 1931.
Okay.
So, he began speaking publicly in 1958. He was a lecturer. He later became a professor in philosophy at Jabalpur University. He lectured throughout India during the 1960s. He promoted meditation, the ideals of free love, which is really popular. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's, like, a huge counterculture movement based in the late 60s here in the U.S., but that was something that I think was more widespread in the world than we really give it credit for.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a social movement based on civil libertarian philosophy that rejects state regulation and religious interference in personal relationships. He also denounced marriage as a form of social bondage, especially for women, which is something that really is like a cult I could get behind. I don't disagree with that.
Interesting.
I think it's an antiquated tradition that serves no real purpose in our modern world, but that's just me. He criticized socialism and Gandhi, but he championed for capitalism, science, technology, birth control. He warned against overpopulation and criticizing religious teachings that promote poverty and subjection of these people who have been, you know.
Yeah. So far, something we can get behind.
Yes. Correct. All of these are things that align. And I think with us, and especially in a modern world, these are all ideas that we are all coming around to.
Sure.
But by 1964, a group of wealthy backers had initiated an educational trust to support Rajneesh and aid in the running of his meditation retreats, which he started doing.
Okay.
The association formed at this time was known as Jivan Jagruti Andolan, which is Hindu for the Life Awakening Movement.
That was amazing pronunciation. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I Googled it. He was acclaimed as an unusually talented spiritual therapist and guide. So he had a lot of traction. And even though a lot of the things that he was preaching was like kind of counterculture, he was getting so much traction with like a younger demographic, not only in India, but like worldwide. And especially with, in conjunction of what was happening in the United States at that time, it was like Woodstock and the Beatles and all of that. So he ended up making his way to Oregon.
Okay.
In 1981. There was a whole set, I don't want to spoil this for you.
Okay.
But he made national news after engaging in immigration fraud. Taking advantage of homeless people, integrating them into his commune, perpetrating the largest bioterrorism attack the United States has ever seen.
Oh, shit.
And an attempt to overthrow local government leaders. Right.
So we got a little radical when we came to the good old US of A.
But, like, here's the thing. It's, and this is what's scary about cults. Like, the path there, nothing on that path is
a red flag.
No. There's not. And you think that it's towards the greater good.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that people think about, like, revolution. Like, you're going to have to make some sacrifices and some tough decisions. And
some things you might have to do might be illegal.
But it's for the greater good.
Ooh.
So, he came to Oregon. He purchased a plot of land called the Big Muddy Ranch just outside of Antelope, Oregon.
The Big Muddy Ranch.
Big Muddy Ranch. That
what
was
what a descriptor.
I bet you it was big and muddy.
Yeah, sure was.
So where? In Antelope, Oregon.
Okay.
Antelope. I want you to know that I had to read Antelope 60,000 times to realize it was antelope and not antelope. brain forgot the word existed.
I had to do that with my last story. There was one word in there that I was like, my brain could not make it happen.
Yeah.
In like in a way that my mouth could say.
Yeah. It's just all made up. Okay, so the community was renamed Rajneeshpuram, also known as Ranchero Rajneesh. And this ranch was incorporated as a city in the early 1980s.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, so he turned it into a tax-paying, state-subsidized city.
Okay.
People from all over the world.
So now he's law-abiding.
Well.
Kinda.
For a very brief moment.
That's what he wants the people to think.
Yeah. It's a city. People from all over the world fled to this city to create a utopia.
Mm-hmm.
It was filled with spirituality and Eastern medicine and free love. And it was self-sufficient. It had everything that it needed. They didn't have to leave. They had their, you know, fields in the mm-hmm. big muddy acreage that they had and everything. So he attracted thousands and thousands of followers from around the world. And many of his devotees,
mm-hmm.
Were highly educated and incredibly wealthy.
Wow.
So many of these people were really attracted to his teachings because Eastern meditation and yoga and these teachings from India were becoming like really like popularized in the US, like in the Beatles music during like back in the day. Like they started using like sitars and it started to get some traction and it gained the attention of people who had a lot of money. And people were attracted to him specifically because his teachings were really ingrained in materialism.
Okay.
And sexual hedonism.
All right.
So he eventually attained a fleet of over 60 Rolls Royces.
I'm sorry. That's a lot of Rolls Royces.
For one town. A fleet.
How many? Okay. 60?
Over 60. I think it was actually closer to 90.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are very much into money dollars.
We are really... Many of his followers were already rich and had a higher education, and they were attracted to his teaching because of his money dollars. Like, think of it. During the 80s, it's like the stock market is booming. Like, New York is really taking off. There's a bunch of, like, they call them yuppies at this time.
Okay.
Were, like, the 80s versions of millennials who were getting a lot of money really, really quick and, like, living this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so they were drawn to him because he was preaching that the things that they were already into were okay.
Okay.
It was okay to be focused on TV and cars and money and what's in your bank account and having frivolous sex with whoever.
I can get down with that.
He taught that sex was a path to enlightenment. He believed that sex was divine. The primal energy of sex has a reflection of godliness in it. He said that in the moment of sexual climax, the mind becomes empty of all thought. It says that the empty mind is like a void and a vacuum is the cause of the shower of divine joy. So it's obvious to see why he attracted so many followers.
Right. I mean, if you can have a Rolls Royce and as much sex as you want, like...
And I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And eat organic food. Like, that's what people do now.
Right.
So he was accused of brainwashing his followers. So he had a method of meditation that he used. That's what caused him to gain traction initially.
Mm-hmm.
His people would always wear orange or red or pink. And they had a locket of wooden beads.
Okay.
And in the middle of the locket, they all wore a picture of Rajneesh around their neck. So that's when you know it gets a little culty.
Yep.
Yeah. He also would drive one of his hundreds of Rolls Royces around the city every day. And people would line up along the road and like wave to him. It was like a parade of one.
Every day.
Every day. And he would drive a different Rolls Royce every single day.
Okay.
Yes.
A little extravagant there.
Correct. So he used dynamic meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It was performed every day by his followers to get them out of their heads and bodies And there were four phases in the meditation that gave the followers the experience that their minds were leaving their bodies. Almost, think of like a sensory deprivation tank.
Okay.
Like he had methods of you achieving that on your own.
Interesting. Okay.
So
I mean, I'm not opposed to that, I guess.
Well, it's a slippery slope.
Unless what you're putting in there when you're like, mind is blank.
Hang on.
Oh, God.
So former members of the cult have spoken out about how they believe they were brainwashed after arriving. One of these members, Rosalind Smith, claimed that she was part of a sophisticated program of mental manipulation. She remembered entering a four-day breath therapy group after.
Uh-oh.
Right. After arriving at the commune, and she said that by day three, she had entered into a cathartic state that lasted for hours. Then she went through a five-day intensive enlightenment group, a sensory deprivation tank, a 14-day insight group, and she said it took her years of expert counseling to regain self-confidence and self-worth after leaving the commune.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Right. So they were actually responsible for one of the largest recorded marriage fraud cases in the United States. It said that there were more than 400 sham marriages perpetrated by them. The immigration fraud was believed to be headed by Ma Anad Sheila, the right-hand lady for him, when they moved to America.
So these are marriages that, like, immigrants are getting married.
Correct. The marriages were between U.S. citizens and then visiting foreigners, and they were created to give the foreigners permanent residence in the United States to bypass the American laws.
Got it. Okay.
They also...
But they were fraudulent? Like, they weren't real, or they were just... Like, what's...
They were fraudulent because they were for the sheer purpose of giving these people citizenship.
Okay.
And that's why now if you go through that, there's, like, so many... There's, like, a certain time frame that you have to be together, and you have to, like, be able to pass, like, quizzes about each other.
Yeah, like the proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's so good.
Is that... I love Sandra Bullock.
It's hilarious.
I will have to watch it one day.
Yeah.
If this quarantine ever ends.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah. So, in addition to this, there were thousands of homeless people who being bussed into Rajneeshpuram to live and work in the commune. So followers claimed that this was a massive new charity being performed by the group to give homeless people another chance at life, but that was a lie. Critics of the group claimed the homeless were being shipped to the area to boost voting for members of the religious group. So the leaders of Rajneeshpuram wanted to start getting members elected into government positions to give the group help with certain things, but they would need more people to vote for their members in order to get elected. So that's why they were performing these fake marriages and putting all these foreign people into their city to be able to vote for them. So they also, like, they got all of these homeless people who moved in, thousands, got them registered to vote.
Whoa.
So,
all right. This cult, is a, I mean, a genius cult. I'm going to say.
I will say. A lot of them are pretty dumb. Like, I think I can find my way out of one. This one, I don't know.
I'm going to be honest. I can think I would be easily, like, swayed into a cult. Like, I think I would be one of those people that would, like, get there in, like, 3 years and be like, oh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Shit.
I fucked up. I've been in relationships longer and have done that.
I gotta go.
Oh, no. This is bad.
Yeah. Like, I could see myself doing that for sure.
So the cult soon realized that many of the homeless were actually mentally ill. And they refused to vote for the leaders or live with the ridiculous rules and do the meditation and abide by the rules that they wanted to live by. And the homeless people were told that they would receive a ticket back to wherever
they came from.
Right. But instead they were just dropped off in nearby cities, causing an influx of homeless people to these towns. Many of these homeless were even part of a $40 million lawsuit against the Indian guru after learning that they were used for voting.
Shit, man.
Is that bananas? So, obviously, we know that the people of Rajneeshpuram wanted to take over the local government, and another one of their crazy plans to do so would be more harmful than shipping homeless people in and out of their towns.
Okay.
Since they didn't have enough people to swing the votes their way, decided that they would take out their competition.
Uh-oh.
So after conducting an inspection of the ranch, Wasco County Executive William Holsey and Commissioner Raymond Matthew became ill. Turns out that they had drank ice water from the commune that had traces... Commune?
Commune.
Commune. I'm dumb. I went to college, I swear. So they drank ice water that had traces of salmonella in it. So followers of the group didn't stop there, though. They would be responsible for the largest bioterrorism attack in the United States. Salsa bars, vegetable and salad bars, tabletop creamers, and other foods at uncountable local restaurants and supermarkets were contaminated with salmonella by the scientists in this group.
Like the highly educated people. Yes. Didn't know exactly how to poison a lot of fucking people.
Isolated salmonella.
Holy.
And contaminated and then laced public food with it.
And, okay, so this had to have been one of those things that's like, it's for the greater good. Were they targeting, like, a certain, like, demographic? Or were they targeting, like,
public.
A certain...
Public. And I'll tell you okay. why.
All right.
So nobody died.
Great.
But more than 750 people were sickened with salmonella during this. And they hoped that enough people were sick during the election that they could throw it to get their leaders in because they wouldn't go out and vote. But it didn't work. The locals were angry and they turned out to vote against the Rajneesh people because they suspected it was them who caused the illness.
Oh my gosh. And this was before, like, a time of, like, social media and, like, mass news media.
This is gossip times.
But, like, yeah, I can only imagine, like, the conspiracy theory, like, gossip times that are happening. Like, it's those Indian people that are out there poisoning us.
Yeah, like, those, like, guru meditative.
Hippy dippies.
Yeah, crunchy granolas out there on the muddy ranch.
Snowflakes. Trying to poison us. That's, but they were right.
Well, believe the boomers. Shit, you heard it here first.
Boomer's not always wrong.
No. So this is the last little bit. So devotees of the religious leader. Am I having a stroke?
Just say it again normally.
The religious leader plotted to assassinate Oregon's U.S. attorney and its attorney general in order to prevent criminal probes against them. The plan was uncovered by FBI agents investigating the followers, and the group decided to murder the U.S. attorney and then assembled weapons and spied on him, and also carried out one of the largest wiretaps on, like, U.S.
How have I never heard of this?
It's insane. But they never carried it out, so they never, like, went and actually, like, put their plan into motion.
Okay.
So this was the end. At this point, Rajneesh has already been deported because he was found guilty of the marriage fraud.
Okay.
He had to pay a $400,000 fine. He had to flee out of the country. His right-hand person and secretary, Ma Anad Sheila, I mentioned her earlier, she instantly became devoted to him when she met him when she was 16. She's the one who helped convince him to come to the United States. She managed the commune. She was the president of the Rajneesh Foundation International. Fearless, ruthless. She made many media appearances to troll the neighboring towns.
That bitch was a Slytherin.
She was... As a Slytherin, I support it. She was looked at by many as somebody who shouldn't be crossed, but her crimes caught up with her. And in 1986, she pled guilty to attempted murder, wiretapping, immigration fraud, and engineering a salmonella outbreak. So.
Holy crap.
Everybody did time. Everybody served their time, despite the meditation. Super not chill.
Wow. What a cult. What a cult.
It's a cult classic.
Oh my God. And that was in the 80s?
That was in the 80s. Yeah.
Wow.
1970 to 1985.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
They made a whole city.
They made a fucking city. Like, legally. Like, paid taxes.
I'm mind-boggled.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Tell me another.
Okay. I apologize now. This is going to be quite lengthy. Okay. I will try to get through it as succinctly and efficiently as I can. But there's a lot of info here, and there's even a lot that I didn't put in here.
Okay.
So, like, that is my, what's the word I'm looking for? My disclaimer
mm-hmm.
that I know that there's information out there that's not here, I understand that. I acknowledge that. I'm letting it go.
Choices were made.
I could not fit everything in here. So we're going to talk about the cult from the 2000s, Nexium.
I don't think I know what this is.
Oh, okay. It is fucking crazy because it starts out as a multi-level management scheme.
No!
Yep.
What?
Yep. And that is how they got people into the cult.
Are you telling me Pure Romance is a cult?
I mean, I'm not going to say that outright. However, this is going to give you a really good heads up if you're in a cult. If you're MLM, which, like, I was. Like, I sold LipSense. I love it. I still use it every day. I'm wearing it now. Didn't decide to sell it anymore. So, like, there are some out there that, like, yeah, like, I hope that you are a boss bitch, that you are, like, living your best life, that you've got, like, many women underneath you that are, like, also selling their shit.
Hashtag girl boss.
Hashtag girl boss. I hope you have a beautiful journal that is color-coded. If you are in a group called Nexium, you need to peace out right now.
Okay.
I don't believe that they are, like, a business anymore, but this was recent, as in, like, 2009.
Oh, shit. We're out of high school.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, Nexium is spelled N-X-I-V-M. I don't know why, but it's pronounced Nexium.
Okay. Roman.
Yeah. All right. So, its front-facing, like, persona, like, how they want it perceived, is a self-help group that promotes successful people to being more successful, basically. So it offers workshops that sound very much like business conferences, workshops that successful people attend to grow their professional skills. So it's got, they've got titles like that business people like you and I would be like, sounds interesting. Like how to grow your communication skills, dealing with difficult people, like things that regular business people like are interested in. But it helps people evolve and relieve themselves of the patterns and habits they've had their whole lives to become their best selves.
That's always an underlying tone in cults. Yeah. Is become your best self.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you have to shed who you are to become who you should be, air quotes, which is, like, what the leader wants you to be. Mm. So there are workshops, that range in pricing, starting at about $300 to $10,000 workshops. So the most popular 5-day workshop is $2,000. Yep. There are classes within this workshop, but one of the first classes is called Rules and Rituals, which is one of the first things that the members of Nexium learn. And there's like lots of rules that are like, you make your bed every morning when you get up. Like rules that like people abide by because that's what they were taught when they were children, or that's like what makes them feel comfortable in their own home. Like you take your shoes off when you come inside. Mm-hmm. So those are examples of like some of the rules that are taught, but also like snuck in there amongst all these like regular domesticated rules is every day when you wake up, you need to thank our leader for him creating this company.
Ew.
His name is Keith Raniere.
I don't like a Keith.
I'm not a fan of a Keith.
I don't like a Keith. I think a Keith is a guy who sits at home on a farm and sharpens an axe on his front stoop.
The only Keith that I like is Keith Mars, and he is fictional. And
I don't know who that is.
Keith Mars is Veronica Mars' dad.
Okay.
And he is a sweet, sweet soul. He's a good Keith. But he's the only one!
One good Keith.
One good Keith. So Keith Raniere, one of his rules is that you have to thank him.
Yeah.
And you have to call him Vanguard. So,
well, if my name was Keith, I would also ask you to call me Vanguard.
Right. So when you're, like, watching YouTube interviews or if you're reading about this, like, there will be, like, mentions of Vanguard. And that is not, like, a mystical godlike being. That is their leader, Keith. There is a ranking system, very similar to martial arts, sashes that are different colors to show how many courses that you've mastered.
Like karate.
Yeah. They tell you preemptively when you get to, like, one of these workshops that there are things in this module that are going to make you uncomfortable. And your inner being is going to tell you to bolt, to leave. That's when you know that it's working.
Ew.
Right. So they already tell you, like, what you're going to feel and, like, doubt that feeling that, like,
very... Your survival instinct.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, like, that is what got me, like, first off. I watched an A&E episode. I think it was called Cults and Extreme Beliefs, and they did an episode on NXIVM. So that's where I got a lot of this information, along with... There's a whole New York Times expose.
Okay.
So I got a lot of things from that as well. People within the cult, after realizing what had happened and, like, what they were a part of, reported that their friends and family actually noticed positive changes within them and said, like, keep doing whatever it is you're doing. You look great. You seem like you have such a different positive outlook on life. I want to do whatever it is you're doing. Because there were classes and things that did change them, like, for the positive.
Well, make your bed and take your shoes off.
Right. Like, all of those, like, very domesticated ideas. So, that is one of those things that, like, it sows the seeds of, like, gathering more people. Because people like what you're doing, so they want to be a part of it, too.
They also want to succeed.
Yep. They're more confident and more succeeding in their careers and relationships. So one of the main characters that I'm going to be talking about here, her name is Sarah Edmondson.
Okay.
And she was the whistleblower. She is the one that came out and basically blew the whole lid off of this. She's the one that did the New York Times article. She was interviewed in the, A&E show that I watched.
Leave it to a Sarah to be a whistleblower.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Sarah with an H.
Oh, hell yeah,
that
Sarah
H
with an H.
Has to hold her down.
That's where the power is. The power is in the H.
Keeps you grounded. So Sarah is a former NXIVM leader. Like, she was high up.
Ooh.
She is, like, the pure romance boss bitch that they all aspired to be.
Ooh.
Like, she had thousands of women underneath her. Thousands.
Was it primarily women?
Yes.
Okay.
There were men, but it was primarily women. And I don't know if that was necessarily because that's what they marketed to, or if women just, like...
That's what it appealed to.
Yeah. In 2009, she and her business partner, Mark Vicente, who was another, like, main character in the story, opened their own NXIVM Center in Vancouver. And at the beginning, they had about 40 full-time students. So this was a pretty big center.
Wow.
There were... a lot of centers in New York and California and LA.
Ew, this is weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. Sarah was with NXIVM for 12 years.
Ooh.
Yeah, she dedicated a lot of her time and energy to this cult.
God.
She was responsible for recruiting over 2,000 people into the group. Each of these members paid between $300 and $10,000 for seminars and workshops. Each.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This was a huge money-making business.
Oh yeah.
Huge.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. In 2017, the founder, Keith Raniere, released a YouTube series inviting the public to see what the secrets were of NXIVM. And these are still on YouTube. You can still see these.
Ooh.
So they were told a series of factoids about Keith when you join NXIVM. These were all found out to be lies, but
of course,
just examples. He had an IQ of 240.
No, what? No.
Well,
that doesn't even exist. I think the highest record is like what? 160, 170?
I have no idea.
Okay.
240 seems outrageous.
I scored a 5,000 on the SATs.
He was speaking in full sentences by the time he was one. He was a concert pianist. He was the judo champion of the East Coast by the time he was 11. He had degrees in mathematics, biology, and physics. So those were just some of the things that they were told about their leader. He created NXIVM in 1998. So there are, I'm going to introduce another character. Her name is Allison Mack. You might know her because she was a series regular on the TV series Smallville. She was I can't remember the character's name, but she's an actress, basically, that had a full-time series regular role.
That's insane.
In the early 2000s.
And she was part of this?
Yeah. She was a big leader.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She perpetuated the idea that members were shining young and successful. And you could be an actress in LA too, just like Allison Mack was.
What?
So it's got a very like Scientology feel to it.
It does. With Lisa Remy?
Sure.
Yeah, from, yeah, she's a Scientology one.
Okay.
We'll cover her in a different cults one.
Okay, great. But yeah, it's got that, like, feeling of, like, well, if all of these, like, actors and actresses that I look up to and I admire, like, they're a part of this, it can't be all bad.
It sounds like base-level marketing.
Yeah. So another character here, I've already mentioned him, is Mark, and he was Sarah's business partner. He was the one that edited and created the video content. So he's responsible for editing and putting together the YouTube interviews Ooh. That are out there. And he's interviewed in this television show that I watched. And just his kind of realization that he put his, like, trust and faith into another man and it, like, all got shattered was just especially odd and heartbreaking to watch. Mm. Because, like, I think women are inherently trusting.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we think maybe men can't be bamboozled by men as easily. But this guy was completely taken. And it...
Devastating.
Was it actually Sarah's, like, story that made him realize what was actually happening. But he says he values intelligence and that he was very taken with Keith because they told him Keith scored the highest IQ that had ever been scored. He was this genius level. And so Mark was like, oh my gosh, like if this man, the smartest man alive, is telling me this, then of course I need to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And they play these interviews for Mark. And Mark is like, I cannot believe that I sat there and like I watched these interviews. And like during the interviews, I was like, this man is so brilliant and he knows exactly what he's talking about. And now rewatching them, he said, what is he saying? He's not saying anything. He's just like saying words that don't make sense. And so an example of what Keith says during one of these interviews is, we have sterling credentials and we have no credentials in the field. See, credentials seem to be self-limiting in the field.
This doesn't sound like Donald Trump.
For real, though. So that's just, like, an example of, like, what Keith's rhetoric was like. Once members meet Keith Vanguard and Keith, air quotes, Vanguard, in person, he greets everyone by kissing them on the lips.
Ew. I didn't like it when my grandma did it, and I don't like it now.
Nope, people should not be kissing you on the lips unless you are, like, romantically involved with them.
You better fucking consent to that shit.
Yep. Most of the group's members were women. There was an offshoot. There are a couple of offshoots of NXIVM that we'll talk about.
Okay.
The first one is called Jeunesse. It's J-E-N-E-S-S.
And they just hated vowels in this group, didn't they?
Yeah, for sure. It is an offshoot of NXIVM that focused solely on women. So men could not join Jeunesse. It was $15,000 for 3 8-day trainings.
What?
So 24 days of training.
What?
$15,000.
Oh my God.
I know. And women did it.
Well, all in the effort to better themselves.
Yep. Allison Mack was one of the spokeswomen for this track. That teaches that men were built to be polyamorous while women were built to be monogamous.
I already hate it.
So expect your man to want to have sex with other women, and it's okay for you to not want that, because that's just how we're built.
No, I hate it.
No.
I don't subscribe to that.
No, like, we're not built any specific way. Like,
don't tell me how I'm built.
You get to be anything you want to be.
Yeah. You want to be polygamous? Do it. You want to be monogamous? Fucking do it.
Just have that conversation with your partner, and, like, you guys have to agree to that.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is teaching. It's just teaching that men get to do whatever they
want.
Men want to
bang, and women don't.
Right. So Sarah was in on this group, too. So she took this track. She says that during her last training with Jeunesse, she had a very serious realization within herself that she thought having this realization meant that she was on the right track and that she was, like, doing what she was supposed to be doing. And that realization was that she was not obedient enough to her husband.
Ew. Listen, people have called me a lot of things in my life. No one has ever called me obedient.
Nope. Don't tell me what to do.
No, don't you fucking dare.
Don't tell me what to do.
Watch me defy you.
I will do the exact opposite.
Like, I will double down in my bad behavior.
100%. It is better for you to just tell me, like, follow your heart, follow your soul, do what you want to do. Because then I'm probably going to choose a better path.
Because you're listening to your heart.
Don't tell me what not to do.
No. Because then I will go do coke with strangers at a bar on a weekend. Like,
don't tell me what to do. I will make a bad choice. 100% of the time. Okay, so introducing a next character named Lauren Salzman. Mm. Lauren was a high-ranking woman within Nexium and was selected to be the leader of our next offshoot, which is called DOS. D-O-S.
Okay.
DOS is stands for a Latin phrase, which I'm going to try not to butcher, but I make no promises.
Okay.
Dominus Obscius Sororium, which translates to the master over the slave women.
Love that.
Do ya?
Love it so much.
I'm gonna go with probably not.
I hope there's a mutiny at the end of this.
Well, okay, so the master over the slave women, I'm just gonna give you like a little bit of a hint, is not Lauren. It's Keith.
Well, of course it is.
What?
No shit. No woman is gonna be a master over other women's slaves.
But that's not how women work.
Ew. No.
That's how it's presented. Okay, so Lauren and Sarah were really good friends. Mm-hmm. Lauren was Sarah's maid of honor and was the officiant at her wedding. And she was the godmother to Sarah's son.
Best friends.
Yeah, best friends. I thought it was interesting that Lauren was not interviewed for this television show and she was used in the past tense, but she is still alive. I looked at it. I'm just assuming that Lauren and Sarah are just no longer friends, although they are currently on the same side of things. Like, they both, at the end of this, have the same rhetoric.
I wonder if Lauren is, like, trying to distance herself from the entire situation.
Probably. So, just, some things about DOS. You have to go through an initiation.
Oh, no. What? Are they gonna, like, fucking tattoo you and cut your hair?
Worse.
How does it get worse?
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, you have to make a vow of obedience to Lauren.
Fuck off.
To Lauren.
No, fuck Lauren.
Yep. And Lauren's like, girl, no, it's really just like I'm your life coach, girl. Like, sis, we're gonna be, I'm your partner in this. Like, I'm your trainer. But like, don't forget to make your vow of obedience to me.
Ew.
Uh-huh. Like a heightened life coach. Is what
a heightened a life coach on crack. Okay, yep. Excellent.
It is a lifetime commitment.
I'm not even willing to make a day commitment
for life.
No.
It is a slave master relationship.
That's part of the initiation.
Yeah.
What?
Starting. You have to agree to these things.
This is like weird emotional BDSM.
Yeah, it is not like fun, kinky BDSM. It is like, I'm going to tie your brain up in ropes and
And keep it in my closet.
And yeah. And oh, God. There's not going to be any like cuddling afterward.
there's no care.
No. Lauren was known to tell her people, but like not like a real slave. Think guru to disciple. So she was trying to make it less.
That's a cult.
Yeah. Cults.
We just went over that.
Yep. There were tests that these women would have to pass. If Lauren texted a member of DOS, that person had to respond within 60 seconds, day or night. She said if that person failed, Lauren would be punished by her master. And punished meaning she would be paddled, she would be put in a cage for the weekend.
Paddled?
Mm-hmm.
This is a grown-ass woman.
Yep. And if anybody in the initiation group failed, the whole group got punished. So...
Oh, God. It's like a sorority.
Yeah. so the whole group would get paddled. And she told the, like, she told her initiation girls that, like, whatever punishment Lauren got for her group failing, she was going to make it worse for them.
Yeah.
So, like, Lauren would get paddled 3 times. Well, she would make it 10.
Sure.
For her girls. But keep in mind that these, like, centers are all over the country. So you might not be, like, in, like, driving distance of Lauren. So you would have to go to your center with your other initiation group and film the paddling and then send it to Lauren as proof of what's happening. So these women would be naked getting paddled.
Oh my God. It's they're making porn.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yep. So the next part of the initiation would be getting a small mark. A small tattoo is a symbol of this lifetime commitment. This is a commitment to your growth, is what they were told.
Oh.
And they would not show what this would look like until the day of the initiation.
Oh, no.
So they had, like, an initiation ceremony.
Okay.
Once they...
Is it going to be, like, a dig? That would be me if I had a cult.
Worse.
Oh, God.
Once they agreed to get the mark, Lauren would say, okay, great. The last thing you need to do is we just need to collateralize your life.
What?
Uh-huh. So they would make these women collateralize their life so that they wouldn't speak about what's happening.
What does that mean?
So they would... Collateral was something that was common, like, in other parts of Nexium. So in, like, the success and all of, like, the earlier workshops, they would give an example, like, you're going to commit to going to the gym every day this week. And if you don't go to the gym on week one, you have to give your sorority leader $10. Or your, like, not sorority leader, but your, like, group leader $10 for every day that you don't go. And every week, the collateral would get higher and more painful. So, like, second week would be, if I don't go to the gym, I have to take cold showers for a week. If I don't go to the gym the next week, I have to sleep on the floor for a week. Like, slowly getting worse. So they're okay. Used to this idea of collateral.
Okay.
Already by the time they get to DOS.
Oh, God.
So in DOS, the idea of collateral is a few different things. Sarah had to ruin her reputation as an actress. So she had to take nude photos. She wrote a damaging letter, like, saying everything that she'd ever done in her life that was, a sin or something that she would be ashamed of. She created 4 videos. In each one of her videos, she shit-talked a major leader of her family. So her mother, her father, her grandparents, her sister. Like, oh my gosh, that would gut me.
Holds you accountable.
Yep.
Oh no.
Keeps you from talking.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, rough. So March 9th of 2017 is Sarah's initiation day.
2017?
Yeah.
That's so recent.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Okay.
So they go to a house, which they find out when they get there is Allison Mack's house. Like, her house. They were told when they got inside to take off all of their clothes. And that is when they found out that they're not getting tattoos, they're getting branded.
Fuck.
Yep. And a lot of people think, like, a branding is, like, a preformed iron stamp that gets, like, put into a fire and then, like, pressed onto your skin and then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is. This is a cauterizing pen.
Oh, no. It's like a tattoo removal, like laser tattoo removal.
Yeah.
But more painful.
Yeah. So they basically, each mark took between 30 and 40 minutes.
Mm.
And the rest of the women would have to hold down whoever was getting branded so that she wouldn't move. Or else her lines would be crooked.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yep. They said the reason for the branding was to build character. If you can feel this kind of pain, you can do anything. Sarah said the most surreal part was thinking at the beginning, like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I gotta go. And then Lauren talking her down, talking her out of it. And then at the end of it, saying and thinking to herself, oh, my God, that was amazing. If I can do that, I just overcame the worst pain of my life. If I can do that, I can do anything.
She didn't pass a kidney stone.
Oh. So I want to show you a picture of the brand.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not a great time, but hold please while I pull this up. Okay, so this is the brand. So, what is the symbol, you ask? Those are Keith's initials.
No!
Yep. Sure are.
Oh. My God.
Yep.
Oh, mother.
Keep it.
Okay.
Because, okay, so they were told that each of the lines had a different specific meaning. Obviously not. It also shows Alice and Mac's initials. You can see an AM.
Yep,
in there, too. Sarah actually said she saw the AM before she saw the KR.
The R is...
small.
Yeah.
In there. We'll post this on Instagram. But, so Sarah was married to a man who's also within Nexium, but the men had a very different experience. So they didn't go through initiations like this. They went through a lot of, like, business planning classes. Like, they went through something probably a little bit more on the up and up.
Sure.
So Sarah told her friend, business partner, Mark, first. He was the first person she called. Mark was flabbergasted and livid. And, I mean, he was torn apart that this was happening because he was the one that brought Sarah into the group.
Oh, God.
Mark resigned that day from Nexium. And he told Sarah she needed to get out and she needed to make peace with whatever dirt they had on her and leave. And she was like, he just told her, like, you have to make peace with whatever you said in those videos, whatever photos they have of you. It's not worth it. You can call all those people and explain what happened and pray for forgiveness, but you have to get out. And so she did. Next up, she had to tell her husband, Anthony. Like I said, he was also in Nexium, but had no idea what the women were being asked to do. And Anthony and Sarah both officially left the group in June of 2017.
Jesus.
So the next month. Once Sarah left, she found out that Keith was sleeping with most of the women within the group.
Ugh.
So if you think about, like, how many women were in that group, that was barf-worthy.
Yeah.
She has heard and talked to other women who have since left, who said that they signed lifelong vows to only have sexual intercourse with Keith.
What?
Keith said, and this is a quote from a Times Union article, "Women who have sex with Keith say it was billed as a sexual experience, a transfer of his godlike energy."
Ew.
Yucky.
Well, I bet you they didn't even come. I swear
probably
to God.
Probably not. There was no way.
No.
Ugh. Gross. And if, like, Keith is not cute. He's like a little goober.
Ugh.
Little goober dude. So Sarah, after she left, did the interview with New York Times to be the whistleblower.
Good for her.
Good
job, Sarah.
Yeah, it made the front page of the New York Times. It was a picture of her, like, with her jeans down, showing her brand, because the brand is directly above her pubic bone.
Oh, God.
And just, like, watching the heartbreak in her face and her voice, like, when she's reliving the moment of, like, I have been branded with another man's initials on my, like,
pubic bone?
Like, are you kidding me? That was hard to watch because she's completely just shattered. And part of this, like, Doss and Jeunesse group was about, like, saving your marriage. And, like, she and Anthony were having trouble in their marriage. And I think that's probably part of the why she went to Mark first. Because, like, how do you explain to your husband that you got another man's initials branded onto you if you're already having marital problems? But they left together. And he stood behind her and, like, helped her do everything that she needed to do.
Good man.
Yeah, being her whistleblower. And he was interviewed very briefly in the A&E show, but that was good to see. We learned about another thing that was happening within Nexium called the Fright Experiment.
Ooh.
Don't love it.
Okay.
Mark was, like, an investigative journalist or a journalist of some sort while also being in NXIVM. So, like, that was his, like, success path. That was his career path.
Yeah.
So, he was doing a lot of, like, international news. And he was given a video, like, many years ago of a snuff film. And it was, like, men, like, with their faces and heads covered. And they were decapitating four women.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And he was telling Keith about it. And Keith was like, I want to see it. Like, I want to understand, like, what each person in this video is thinking and feeling and blah. So what Mark didn't know was that Keith had kept this video and was going to use it in this experiment. So this poor little baby angel named Jennifer Cobalt was initiated and, like, brought into NXIVM by Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer was a struggling, like, artist or actress. I think she was in L.A. But she spent nearly $3,000 on her first course.
Oh,
and she was like, she saw Sarah's picture and she was like, she's beautiful. She's everything I want to be. If she can do it, so can I. So Sarah recruited her, and then that, like, made Sarah feel especially responsible for her, especially when she found out that Jennifer was a part of this Fright experiment. So some members came to Jen and said that they were doing a study and needed 100 people to participate. Would she be interested? And she said, sure. Like, there was really not a lot of information given, but it was portrayed as very simple and easy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a TV screen in a room, and a doctor was there, and the doctor put on, like, a Brave Wave cap and a few monitors, and she said she trusted the doctor that was there, and they showed the video, which was the video Mark gave Keith of this decapitation, and Jennifer was just beside herself, like, completely unprepared for watching this, and the doctor just said, so how was that experience for you?
Fucking awful, thank you.
Yeah, like, I would like to leave now. Sarah now spends much of her energy trying to apologize to Jennifer and the other people she recruited. So that's, like, kind of her new mission in life is to...
Can you imagine the guilt?
Oh, God. And all of the money.
Ugh.
Like, not only, like, the emotional trauma of what you went through, but, like, you also spent your own hard-earned money dollars on this. Fast forward, after Sarah becomes a whistleblower, to March 26th of 2018,
wow.
Keith Raniere is arrested in Mexico. He was found with several women and is facing charges of coercing women to be sex slaves and sex trafficking.
Good.
Some of the prosecuting witnesses include Mark, Lauren, Sarah, three of his victim slaves that, like, were... other, like, these are the other women that I didn't even mention.
Right.
There's seven of them.
Jesus.
Of his, like, head...
Bitches.
And Allison Mack is one of them.
Ugh.
Allison was arraigned in federal court on charges of sex trafficking and forced labor.
Mm.
In April of 2018, she was released on a $5 million bond.
For fuck's sake.
$5 million? Are you kidding me? Ugh.
Somebody would be like, you have a $50 bond. And I'd be like, I don't know if I'm going to make that.
Well, I'm going to just stay right here.
Yeah, I'll go to jail.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit my happy ass down. It's going to be fine. And then in June of 2019, Keith was found guilty on all seven counts brought against him. And I'm going to list those counts for you.
Okay.
Sex exploitation of a child and possession of child pornography with regard to one of his minor victims named Camilla.
Okay.
Sex trafficking. They specifically name a woman named Nicole, and then attempted sex trafficking for another woman named Jay. Identity theft. Trafficking for labor and services of a woman named Daniela, and then forced labor of Nicole. Conspiracy to alter records for use in official proceedings. And lastly, sex trafficking conspiracy, forced labor conspiracy, racketeering conspiracy, and wire fraud conspiracy.
Did he go to jail?
He is serving time. I was not able to find how much time he is serving, so I don't know if they found him guilty and then they're, like, trying to figure out how much time he's going to serve.
Yeah, he might not be, like, sentenced.
Right. So, that could be a possible, like, update episode in the future.
Fun.
But...
That's crazy. What, like, a story. Listen, lesson number one, be mindful of multi-level marketing groups.
Yeah.
They're not... All that they
They had an LLC.
Listen, you and me can hop on down to the city clerk's office with $50 and get an LLC.
Yep, it's super easy to do.
It is.
So it's I was completely mind boggled. I've been fascinated by this case for a while. This is
wild.
I mean, you and I both know, like, I love TV and I love the entertainment industry. So yeah. Like the fact that Allison Mack was in a show that I used to watch as a teenager,
like somebody to look up to, was able to be, like, deceived. Absolutely. In such a way is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Wow.
Really great job.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, murder plots in here. Oh, there's, yeah. Like, disappearances. Women have disappeared who were last known to be with Keith Raniere. I mean, there's so much I didn't touch. Just, like, so much.
I will say that was a lot of information to, like, concisely give.
I'm out of breath.
Yeah. You did an excellent job. Oh, good job you. To you. We can tell that you have a communication degree.
Oh, that's kind of you. So, yeah, thanks for listening to us babble on about cults.
Thanks for not joining a cult.
Yeah, please don't join a cult.
I mean, do what you want, but, like, also don't.
If you have suspicions that you might be joining a cult, call somebody.
Listen.
Slide into our DMs. Like, we yeah. might be able to set you straight.
I love that. And I'm saying, listen to your gut, especially when somebody is telling you your gut is wrong.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Your gut's gonna
not wrong.
Your gut is not going to lead you astray. That's why it's your gut.
Yeah, you should never have to go against your innate sense of self-preservation.
No. And anything that tells you otherwise is trying to harm you.
Is lying.
So, I'm going to go sleep with the lights on.
I mean, same. All right. Well, go follow us on the things. We're on all the socials. We have a Twitter.
Instagram.
Facebook group.
Gmail.
And a Gmail. If you have any suggestions, feel free to let us know. If we messed anything up, if we fucked it up, let us know about that too. We'll probably do an entire episode of Correction Corner, because we know that there have already been errors. We found out that we don't know how long a football field is. We don't know how much $1 million is.
We don't know the population for Fort Wayne. Oh my God, I was so embarrassed on that one about the diamond heist. Because I was so dramatic about $1 million, and it was supposed to be $100 million.
I mean, it is what it is. We also, there were many things that while I was editing, I was like, that's wrong. Oh, Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, yes.
Is not Alexander Skarsgård's dad. That's Stellan Skarsgård. In my defense, I had at least two cocktails by that point.
The Kraken cocktail.
The Kraken cocktail got me, guys. So yeah, I mean, we just know that there are things that are wrong. We are not going to ever promise that we will get things 100% right.
We were told you that we were here to bullshit, and we stand by that. We didn't say we were here to tell you all the facts.
Yeah, no. My boss straight out called me on not knowing how many 6,500 is.
Oh, 6,500.
Literally, I got a text that said 6,500 is 6,500, and I was like, thank you.
Thank you, Raymond. We love you.
Thanks, Ray. All right.
Well,
so, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we hope you have a good and safe and healthy next week ahead of you, and
we'll see you soon.
Goodbye. Bye.